listening to From the Friars Podcast, the community of Franciscan Friars of the Renewal, headquartered in the Bronx, New York City.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. He has no power over me, but the world must know that I love the Father, and that I do just as the Father has commanded me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good afternoon and welcome. May the Lord give you his peace. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, there are some very interesting things being said in the readings today. Jesus talks about the peace that he wants to give to us is different than a peace that, in his words, the world gives, a certain type of peace, and the peace he gives is a different type of peace. And then he says, the ruler of the world is coming, that's the devil. He has no power over me. He'll say something similar to Pontius Pilate, huh, during his trial. You would have no power over me unless it was granted to you from above. So that comment feels to me like it matches something that was being said in the first reading from Acts of the Apostles. We've been following the story of Paul. Some of it has been hilarious. Some of it's been pretty frightening. Yesterday, they went to one town and they were going to try to stone him and murder him, like rejected. They go to the next town and people wanted to worship them as if they were gods, which was so funny, you know, like one day they want to kill you, the next day they want to worship you, you know, like what an odd way of life. But in today's first reading, he's almost murdered. He's stoned, they knock him out, but he's still alive. And he makes the comment, it is necessary for us to undergo many hardships in order to enter the kingdom of God. Does anybody have that on their wall at home? your family members, if you're married, your spouse would be like, why is that above our bed? Okay. So it's necessary for many hardships, and St. Paul suffered a lot, right? There are a few places in his letters where he lists all the bad things that happened to him when he finally signed up for Jesus' team. So is this the peace you're offering us, Lord? The world hates us. Okay, so what's happening here? So it has to do with the fact that in this life there is suffering, huh? You think of what Mother Mary told the children at Fatima, would you be willing to accept the sufferings that God would send you? Now, obviously, she's speaking in a way that's at their level, like an uncomplicated, like what you would say to a child. We know that God allows us to suffer. There are crosses that we all have to carry. And then what did Mother Mary say to St. Bernadette in Lourdes? I can't promise you happiness in this life, but in the next. You know, these kind of moments feel contrary to, well, the culture I was raised in, you know, like you try to enjoy and as much in comfort and pleasure as possible, and you try to avoid discomfort and anything, you know, it's kind of our nature, right? That it's somewhat natural to kind of try to avoid pain and discomfort. So the Lord speaks a word to us that's really challenging here. And it's regarding this gift of peace and how his peace is different than what we may call worldly peace. And so I'll share with you a little story that came to mind as I was praying over these things this morning. First of all, it's okay to acknowledge that for many people, life here is really difficult. You know, even here in America, where we have comfort like humanity has never seen, the history of this planet, with the comfort we have. But, you know, there's nobody dropping bombs on us here like some other countries, but maybe in the future, we'll see. but in this life, it's a thing, right? We suffer, we struggle, things are broken, including each one of us, we're broken. So there's suffering, and yet we're looking for this peace, we're looking for joy. Jesus offers us peace, And so it reminds me of a moment of discernment that I had when I was younger, which I want to share with you. When you join a religious order, you're in for 7 to 10 years before you make your final lifetime commitment, or as one of the brothers said, I got a life sentence. So you're in for quite a while, you know, postulancy, novitiate, temporary vows. Like, you don't make final vows right away. Like, the church really wants to make sure. It's something similar to marriage. You can't just say, marry me, and then go to the church that evening. Like, no, there's a preparation time. Maybe it needs to be longer. I don't know. But, okay, I don't know if that was God or the devil. If it was the Lord, I apologize. Okay. Imagine somebody planting a bomb in the Paschal candle. Okay. I'm discerning, and I joined the Friars. And to be honest, it took quite a lot of courage for me to go to New York. I grew up in small town Indiana. I never knew anything about monks or friars or nuns or lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, you know, like, and then to go to New York City, which is really contrary to my nature. I do not like crowds. I do not like big cities. Okay, all of that. And yet there was this attraction to follow Jesus with these friars in the Bronx. And I remember being in for many years, and then we hit that period about a year before you make your final vows. It's time to make a decision. Up until then, really, you were free to leave. You know, like, you're discerning, you could say, hey, this isn't for me, goodbye, you know, and some of my classmates did that. So it's the moment of decision. And we go on retreat, and on retreat, what do? You make up your pros and cons lists, right? Like, here are all the reasons why I think the Lord is calling me. Here are the reasons why maybe he's not calling me, right? You come up with lists. And the goal here is that you're not just basing your decision off how you feel in the moment, but rather, you know, 7 years, looking back on 7 to 10 years, for me it was 7 years, in general, like general movements of the heart, you know, a certain joy, a certain peace, in the midst of challenges and whatnot. And it's funny, one of my classmates, who is a really dear friend of mine, his sister was the same age as my sister. And so we got to know the families really, really well. And we used to joke that if either of us discerned out, the other one would also leave, and I would marry his sister, and he would marry my sister. And then we would see if the children looked similar, you know, like somehow similar. Anybody have that in their family where siblings married a sibling? Okay, so it happens. Okay, it's allowed. So anyways, the morning of my final vows, his family, who are, like, I call his mom and dad, they're at our friary. They had come in for the ceremony, and at breakfast, his sister, who's just a sweetheart, sitting across the table from me at breakfast, and she says, it's not too late, we can get married, you know, like the morning of my final vows. And I was like, no. But I had come to a moment where I had an item on my list of maybe I'm not called to this, and I had to wrestle with that, and so that's what I wanted to share with you. So I had been with the Friars for about 7 years, and generally speaking, things had gone really well. There'd been a lot of ups and downs, but generally speaking, a lot of joy, a lot of peace, a sense of God's grace at work, and a deepening in my relationship with the Lord, which is ultimately why I stayed. Spoiler alert, I ended up staying, okay, you know. But there was this thing where I really did not like living in the big city, and I did not like being so far away from my family. You know, like, my siblings were getting married and having families, and I'm the uncle, but I don't get to see my nieces and nephews. Like, this was the sacrifice. And this bothered me, you know, and I was like, I wish, like, there was that moment, like, maybe I should go back home. Maybe I could be a priest in my home diocese. Maybe I could marry this girl and we could move to Indiana and whatever, you know, like, and there was this thing, there was a suffering that was difficult. And I was pondering, does this mean maybe I'm not called? And then in prayer, I received a message from the Lord in my heart that all of this stuff that was bothering me, being away from my family, I could summarize it being like, I don't feel like I'm at home. And I was telling the Lord, like, I don't feel like I'm at home, you know, on some level. So I miss my family. I miss small town Indiana, you know. And then the Lord said to me, you're not at home. And the whole thing changed, you know. I was like, you're right. Heaven is our home. You know, and so and then from that moment, I still suffer. I still don't like big cities. I still miss my family terribly. But when these sufferings come, it's a joy. I'm grateful for the suffering because the suffering reminds me I'm not home. And we need that. And that must be why an all-powerful, all-loving God allows us to suffer. The suffering in the end becomes a good thing for us. So if you find yourself getting angry and getting bitter and getting judgmental, you know, be careful. Like, suffering can make you become that way, even if you're allegedly devout. But rather, suffering born in joy and thanking the Lord that even uncomfortableness can be a grace. Could be the grace we need to get out of our complacency and mediocrity and that thing that we all want to do where just like, let me be comfortable and let me just make my nest, you know? And that's where the spirituality that there is no nest because we don't live here. We're pilgrims. We're only passing through. Keep moving. Spiritually, keep moving. And when you do have situations and circumstances that are difficult, it doesn't mean that it has to rob your joy, because there is a joy from Jesus and a peace that transcends however you're, you know, feeling right now, whatever the weight of the cross is that's on your shoulders right now. You know, that the suffering can become, what was bitter becomes sweet. You know, that's a quote from St. Francis, you know, what was bitter now became sweet. And that is a grace the Lord wants to give us. And that is a peace that the world cannot give. Only God can give us that peace, that even in the midst of doing something that's hard and difficult and suffering, we can still have a joy and a peace because we know that is what will bring us to our destination in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Been listening to From the Friars podcast, the community of Franciscan Friars, the Renewal. Please visit us at franciscanfriars.com or on social media, CFR_Franciscans.